We are now going to read from the Bible. This is from the New Testament. We're on to week three, so we are reading from Mark 3, starting at verse 7 to verse 20. Mark 3, verses 7 to 20. Crowds follow Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. The appointing of the 12 apostles. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the names Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, son of the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat.
Thanks, Richard. There's a little sticker appeared on my pulpit here. Was it yours, Peter? It's not, no, you don't need to come out. It's okay. I'm just asking, because it wasn't here before, and now it's here. And do you know what it says? You are an amazing man.
Must be mine.
Thank you. Great. Okay. I'll move this out of the way now, actually. I don't need that anymore. So the last verse of that actually said, that was read. You probably wondered why I was asking for verse 20 as well, because it kind of stood out as the part of the next chapter, really, the next bit. But the last verse said, in verse 20, then Jesus entered the house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been so busy, you've not, or had so many things going on, you've not been able to eat? Ever felt like that? Some are going no, some are going yes. Anyone who's ever been at work and worked through the lunch hour and not realised till kind of about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that you're getting a bit hungry and you've been kind of, some people are doing that as well. Jesus was busy here. There's two different themes coming out in the passage that we read today. And probably the two different themes show something of my mind being all over the place this week with what I was going to speak about. And that's because I decided what I was going to speak about and had it planned when we were looking at Mark chapter 3, and have changed my mind on Wednesday and gone for something different. But I'm going to tell you what I was going to talk about, because I think it needs introducing at this point, but I don't want to go into it today. And I'll explain why in a moment. The two themes that are coming through this passage, I've picked up some verses to pick out from it. There's a few things going on, but these are the two things I've picked up on. Verse 7, Jesus withdrew with his disciples. So Jesus is wanting to go away and spend some time with a small group. And the next line is, and a large crowd followed. So the big crowd comes and joins them. So trying to get away and just being a small group, but a big group follows. In verse 11 of that story, it says, whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out. So we've got evil spirits at this point. Then in the next story is verse 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. These were the 12 apostles who he drew out and said, come and spend some time with me. So again, Jesus is going off to spend some time by himself. And it said he sent them out to preach and to have authority over demons. Again, we get into the spiritual angle of all this. Verse 20, then Jesus entered a house, and again, a large crowd gathered. So he's going away to a small place in a house, but a large crowd come after him, so that he and his disciples weren't even able to eat. And verse 22, which we didn't get to, says the teachers of the law said, oh, Jesus must be possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. By the prince of demons, he's driving out demons. And again, we get onto the demonic. So two different themes that I'm picking up on in this passage. Did you get them? Well, one of them is the whole thing about withdrawing into small group and then there being big groups as well, which is something I'm going to come on to in a moment. The other is the whole spiritual dimension, which is what I was going to talk about this morning. This Mark's gospel is absolutely jam-packed with spiritual warfare and the reality of the demonic, of demons, of spiritual warfare, basically. You cannot go through a chapter, certainly in the first 9 chapters, without it coming up again and again and again. And in fact, most of Mark's gospel has it in it. In the first story in Mark's gospel, Jesus is tempted by Satan in the desert. The first miracle he does in Mark's gospel is an exorcism of an evil spirit. In chapter 1, we see lots more exorcisms in the same town and throughout the region there. And then in chapter 3, we see it in the passages I've read, and it's also in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. Demons and unclean spirits. It's the largest category of healings in Mark's gospel are exorcisms. And it ends with his commission for us to go out and have authority over evil spirits too. There's loads in Matthew and Luke's gospels as well and in Acts. And so I was going to address this issue this morning because it's a serious and a big issue in the gospels. We must take the spiritual dimension to life and spiritual battle seriously. We are in a spiritual battle. There is a spiritual reality. Satan is just as real as God is, and demonic powers are just as real as godly and holy powers, good and evil. And I now, as I prepared this and got things ready and was ready to talk about all of this and what it all meant, probably felt about the same as you do now, which is, this is heavy. And then I thought, it's a dedication service. It isn't really the right topic to go in on a dedication service. It's been all light so far. We've had little children. We've been blessing them and all that kind of thing. So I then began to kind of wonder about it, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to address it this morning, but we are going to create an opportunity to address this issue and spiritual warfare and demonic and possession and casting out evil spirits and all that kind of stuff, because we can't avoid it. That's the point I'm trying to make this morning. We can't avoid it because it's there in the Gospels. But I did feel, on just thinking and praying this through, even though I'd put some work into doing that this morning, I did feel it was something to leave for today. And that was confirmed really by Tuesday night. We had a meeting of home group leaders here. And the reason we had the meeting of the home group leaders was because we're looking at how we can care for one another better as family, as church family, and provide better pastoral care across the church, and help build community and relationships in the church. And we wanted to talk and present some ideas to our current small group leaders, what we call home group leaders, and kind of bounce that around there. And so we did that on Tuesday night. And we're looking to do something new in the future going forward with this. And I had to find a time between now and probably in the next 5 weeks, really, to present these thoughts and ideas to you as a church so that you knew what was going on, and because we need your help, some of you, to be involved in helping with this as well. So I was looking ahead in the preaching plan and actually found that actually today was probably the best day to be able to do this and address it, even though I hadn't intended doing that at this point. And so I want to go to the other thing we were talking about, which is Jesus withdrawing to small group, Jesus calling 12 people together to spend time with people in the small group environment. And I want to talk today about small groups and pastoral care. So I'm postponing the spiritual battle discussion, not negating it. We will come back to it and address it again. But I just want to highlight this morning and raise again the reality. We sang it in songs earlier about when Satan tempts us and things, you know. Just remember, we are in a spiritual battle. When you are struggling, when you are finding things difficult, remember the spiritual reality as well of the battle that we're in. And Jesus wants us all to turn to him and follow him. But we all have a side which we will decide in this life. So I'm going to move away from the heaviness of that, and I'm going to talk about the small group thing and the pastoral care thing, which is not so much a sermon as an informational thing for you this morning, and something which we want you to understand what's going to happen and why this is important. There's different words that have been used for small groups in church life. Can you think of any that are used for small groups? Home groups. Let's write some of them down. Home groups. Okay, what else? Cell groups. Cell groups, yeah. So cell groups. Fellowship groups. Thank you. Fellowship. Keep going. Sorry? Life groups. Yeah, life groups. Care groups. Okay. Care groups. I'll add growth groups here. House groups. Thank you. Bible studies. Small group, yeah. Small group. Okay, lots of different names. Here's one that isn't a group, but is a similar kind of, can be a similar kind of thing, not exactly the same, but a missional community is another one that's been used as well. There's lots of different terms that are used for these kind of groups. Let me explain for those who are new to church life and don't understand what these kind of things are. These are where we all gather together on a Sunday in a large group like this. You come and you listen to a preacher, we sing some songs, you listen to a sermon and so on, and we're all in a big environment together. There's not much time for discussion and sharing any personal news or things that your questions you've got about what's being said or about God or anything else like that. So what we do is there's an opportunity during the week where you can get together with a smaller group of people. It can be anything from half a dozen people up to about 15 people, some of the groups. And you can get together with a smaller group, meet in someone's home and you can have some discussion there. You can talk about anything from a Bible passage that or what's been taught on Sunday or something. Discuss that in more detail. You can also share personal things going on in your life and support one another in that and pray for one another. So these are the kind of things that small groups have traditionally been about. And it's about being able to care for one another and share life with each other. That's why some of them are called life groups. Share life with each other in a way. And talk through things, questions you've got, issues. We run something called an alpha course in this church, which is kind of like one of these groups. And an alpha course gives the opportunity to meet together for people who are either not Christians or have just become Christians, but have a lot of questions about Christian faith. And if you've got questions and, not sure about things, it gives an opportunity to ask those questions in a safe environment. We've just started that, actually, last Monday, and it's on again this Monday for anyone who wants to go to that in our church. It's called Alpha, and it starts about, is it 7 o'clock? Someone help me here, 7 o'clock? I think that's right, isn't it? 7 o'clock. And it starts with a meal as well, so you don't even need to eat before you come. You can come down and a meal's provided, and it's a great opportunity to find out more about Christian faith and ask those kind of questions that you might want to ask. So that's Monday here at the church. But other groups meet in homes and talk about lots of different things throughout the week. So that's what these different groups are. Pastoral care, when I use that term, what we're talking about primarily is caring for one another, looking out for one another. And that can be physical health or spiritual health or practical things as well. We just want to care for one another. It's being pastoral, being caring in that way and trying to support one another. And so the system in our church until recently has been such that the pastoral care system has been done regionally. So we've had some pastoral carers, pastoral care leaders. If you are a pastoral care leader, someone who's been covering a region in the past or present, can you put your hand up if you've ever done that kind of role? We've got some people around. So these kind of people, thank you, you can put your hands down. These kind of people are people who have covered an area of the town and they've kind of looked out for people in their particular area or region and have, if someone's been at the church, they know about the lives near there, they will try to be looking out for those people in that area and help them kind of pastorally. That helps the pastors because there's only two of us, and for a long time, for a few years or so, there was only one with just Lisa, and trying to pastor everybody and care for everyone is, difficult?
Impossible,
thank you, yes. And even with two, it's kind of not going to happen. In the way that we would want it to, because we want to care for someone properly, I think it really does take some, it can really help if there's some relationship there. It can help if you have a trust and built up and a relationship in that way to be able to care for someone properly. And there's too many people and there's lots going on in your lives all the time. And we can't be there all the time for everything that's going on. So somehow we need to break that down. And one of the ways that's been done is through regional pastoral cares. But I would say even then that's hard. And I know some people have friends who do that for one another, and that's great. But not everyone does, and not everyone feels as though like their immediate friends are people that they can necessarily find that from, the kind of care that they might need at a particular time. It could be just spiritually, it could be emotionally, it could be a whole range of different things. And so we want to be, our desire is to be the kind of church that can be really caring for one another and supportive of one another. But one of the primary ways we've kind of recognised of being able to do that is through a small group dynamic. Here's the thing, if you've got a small group that are meeting together, say a dozen people, and they're meeting together in a home, then it becomes much easier for those people to be able to care for one another and look out for one another. Can you see that? Makes sense, doesn't it? So that if one of them isn't well, or if one of them is struggling with something, or having a tough time at work, or whatever, they could be supporting each other, could pray for each other, and talk things through, and so on. And it also creates that environment, like I said before, where you can learn together and ask questions together and reflect on Bible and things like that together as well. So this is the small group dynamic. Now, at the present time, this is what we've got. In our church, we've got these home groups, and we had about 22 home groups, I think 24 home groups, about 4 years ago. And we are now down to about 12 home groups. We have shrunk in size of our home groups, our small groups. We have also, a lot of people that were involved in small groups are not anymore involved in small groups. And so that now has made it more difficult for us as a church to be able to care as effectively for everybody, because not everyone's connected into a small group. So one of the things that we have talked about is how can we develop this structure so that we can more effectively care for one another. And we think the primary means in which we can provide pastoral care and the primary way in which we can help create a different environment than just all being together in a big group like this is through a small group structure. So just as Jesus got his disciples together and 12 of them, just as Jesus saw the importance of breaking off and doing smaller group stuff as well as the bigger group stuff, we want to kind of develop this side of things in church life as well, to help one another and support one another and build relationships together. Recently, we've had some people come into our church and they've been new to the church and they've said, we'd like to join a small group. We'd like to do this. And we've had some difficulty actually finding them a group, because quite a few of our groups are saying at the moment, we're full. We haven't got room to get anyone else in them. We've kind of, our house is full. Or it has not been the kind of group near enough to them, or the things that they're doing are not the kind of things that they'd engage with easily. And so we found that difficult. We're sorting it and we're trying to get new groups going. But there is a need for more groups and a more diversity of groups as well in order for this to work. So here's what we're looking at going forward. We've come up with this idea of, we would like to provide an opportunity for more small groups to be happening. And recognizing that the importance of the small group is not necessarily about what it's doing, as in whether it's doing Bible study or not, but recognizing one of the most important values of the small group is the relational aspect of it, in caring and supporting one another. So some of the groups that we've got are groups that love to study the Bible. So they love to read a Bible passage and go through it together and talk about the things in it. Some of them are groups that might spend a lot more time praying together. Now, you'll still have a group that the one that does the Bible will still pray, but a focus might be on prayer. Some of these groups are more focused on a fellowship element of it, if I can use that word. Fellowship just meaning that relational aspect of it, but they'll still study a bit and do things from the Bible as well. I talked about Alpha before, which is a type of small group which is looking at things to do with the Christian faith. But what we wanted to say was, are there other groups that we can do as well that may not just be about Bible study or prayer or fellowship, these spiritual things, but starting other groups up as well that people might engage with, who might not feel they just want to go along to a Bible study or something like that. And recognizing the importance of the relational aspects and caring for one another, what we'd like to do is wheel out a whole range of small group ideas. So for example, it could be a group that likes playing games. So who likes playing games? Anybody like playing games here? Put your hand up. Okay, quite a few people like playing games. Okay, so some of you may already be in a group, a home group, that's more like a Bible study group or something, or a fellowship group. But some of you may not want to do that. You've been at work all day. You come home. You're feeling like, actually, the last thing I want to do this evening is go study the Bible in a serious group for an hour or two. And I understand that, that we're all different, you know. Some people will love that and relish that, and some people won't. So what we want to do is, we don't want you to miss out on the small group experience and the relational aspects of that and the care that can be provided in that. So we want to say, okay, you guys, you want to get together, you can join a group that is going to play a game together and do something a bit more fun like that. And who likes having a meal? Anyone like having a meal? Okay, there's a few people like doing that. So we want a group that that can just come home and not have to worry about cooking tea tonight, because they know they're going out to someone's house to have a meal. And they're going to share a meal together. So a group that just is about eating together. A group that likes to have the meal in their own house first, but just is happy to get together for drinks and coffee and just to chat. So this one's just coffee together. A group that likes reading books and would like to discuss the book, perhaps, with other people. So you decide to read a book together, and then you can discuss that book together. And what about those who like knitting? There you go. A knitting group. We could have a knitting small group as well. Or we've got one who like walking together. A walking group. So what we're saying is, these small groups can be anything, built around anything. And what we're looking for is people who are up for leading a small group. And saying, here's something that I like doing, that I'm kind of into, and I would be happy to help lead a group like this. We're also looking, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to host it, as in it needs to be at your house. We're also looking for people who are willing to host a home group. Say, you know, I'm happy for a group to be at my house, but I don't want to lead it, but I'd be happy to do that. So we need people who are willing to host. We need people who are willing to lead a group. But this is what we're looking for in a leader. And this is what we want these groups to be about. We want these groups to not just be something that is just reading a book together or having a coffee together or a meal together. We also want you to be supporting each other and helping each other in your discipleship journey. So what we want is, we want you to, first of all, try and make prayer a part of your time together. Try and keep Jesus at the centre of this, your faith at the centre of this as well, and not just water it down into another kind of general activity, but try and keep Jesus at the centre and heart of what you're doing. Try and support each other, talk with each other about how you're doing. Understand one another, get to know one another better in that way. And if people are having a difficult time, then talk things through and pray for one another, be there for each other. So you're providing that kind of care for another. And so what we're looking for in a leader, a home group leader, is not necessarily someone who will take on all the responsibility for that themselves, for the whole group. But what we're looking for in a home group leader is someone who will make sure that's happening within the group. It's someone who's going to model it themselves, but also someone who's going to make sure that other people in the group are going to be doing that too. So that the group is caring for one another and the leader is facilitating and making sure that's happening. At the moment, we've got about 130 people in small groups. We reckon that if we open it up and have a lot more different groups, and the idea would be to advertise all of the different groups we get going on the website, and people can sign up to them on the website. We're going to have a way of doing that to sign up to a group. It'll also be on a board downstairs, and there'll be all the different groups listed. And we could have 20 or 30 different groups listed downstairs. You know, it could be a whole diversity of activities and kinds of things. And you'll be invited to sign up to one and go along. You've got the opportunity to join a group for a term, say. And then after that time, if you're fed up eating together and you want to do something different, then you can change your group and go to a different one. Now, I know the downside of that is you say, well, we're trying to build up relationship and it takes 2 years to build up good relationships. And then why would you want to separate after that? But actually, the flip side of that coin is this, that sometimes, not everyone, but sometimes you can kind of get meeting with the same people week after week after week. You can start to drift off from that, which has happened in some cases. And this way gives you the opportunity as well to get to know other people in your family, in your church family, so that you're with a group in your journey for a while, and then you can say, okay, I'm going to get to know some other people and do something a bit different. So you've got the opportunity to do that, but you don't have to. If you want to stay with the same group and carry on year after year, you can do. There's no pressure on that from us. It's left entirely up to you. Existing home groups, don't need to worry, as we said to the home group leaders the other day. You can carry on entirely as you are. If any of your members want to try something different, they can, but there's no pressure to do. We're very happy for groups to stay as they are. What this is about is increasing the number of groups and increasing the different types of groups and opportunities and trying to provide a wider breadth of care across the church for people. Now, if we get several new groups started up, we go from 130 people being involved in small groups at the moment to, say, for argument's sake, we get up to 200 people involved in small groups. That's another 70 people involved, which would be good. That now means 200 people are there. And hopefully what it means is if one of those people drifted away from the church, someone would notice. Do you know who's not here this morning? You might know one or two people who you might know, but do you know we have a 370 people in our church fellowship manual? There's actually more than that, but 370 people connected, 370 members we've got at the church, and there's other people that come that aren't members. Some of you aren't members, and some others come that aren't members. It's a lot of people connected with our church, and it's very hard sometimes for us as ministers or the leadership or anyone to notice. Is that person here today? Can you understand that? Have they drifted off and not been coming for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 5 weeks or how long has it been? The more people involved in this way, you would notice and your home group leader would notice, hopefully, that they're not around and haven't been around and could address that yourselves. We'd want you to be carrying and giving a phone call up if someone's not there. Hey, are you okay? Not necessarily chasing everyone up every time they're not in church or at home group. But don't worry, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about just that general care. Are you all right? We've missed you. We haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. We can care for one another better that way and pick up these kind of things. Let's say we get up to 200. It still leaves about 170 other people that aren't in groups. I'd hope it might be more than 200, but there's still a lot. So what we're going to do about that? Then what we're going to do is we're going to ask each group to think about, so there's 12 people in this group, say, we want them all to think about people who they know that they have relationship with that they could adopt as a group. So let's say that Richard is in this group here, and Richard knows somebody who doesn't come to any of the groups, but he sees on a fairly regular basis. He's good friends with, or it might be a family member. Or it might actually be just someone who lives around the corner from him. And Richard says, do you know what? I can look out for that person. I can kind of notice how they're doing and kind of care for them as well. And so that person would be adopted by Richard for their group. That person doesn't necessarily go along to that group. They don't have to go to a group. They're choosing not to. But Richard is going to look out for them. And that group can help pray with Richard for that person as well, because he's adopted into that group. Now, I reckon that probably those people who are in groups probably know somebody, at least a four people in a group of 12 would know somebody who's not in a group that could be linked that way. So let's say that's another four people that are covered by that group. And if we've got 20 groups, that's 80 people, yeah? So another 80 people are covered if we've got 20 people. So now we're up to 280 people that are covered. You see how this is working? That we know what's going on, we can care for, we can make sure they're okay, and so on, and be looking out for one another in that way. It still leaves other people that aren't picked up yet, doesn't it? So this is then what we've got. We are going to be looking for, we've got some already, but we're going to be looking for people who are willing to be what we'll call pastoral carers. I'll put PC there. And pastoral carers will be people who will help to pick up pastorally people who are not in a group or that aren't necessarily connected this way here. So these people will maybe care for and look out for three or four people who are not directly involved in a group. And they themselves will then connect with a group themselves. So they'll be linked with, so say that person's linked with that group, for example. So there you've got another three people, times the 20 groups, 320, another 60 people, because these pastoral carers will be looking out for two or three people. These are people who will have some time to be able to do this, to be able to go and see people if they're not well, or to be able to just look out, make a phone call, whatever. And they're willing to do it with people they don't necessarily know very well themselves, but are willing to build relationship with two or three people. The advantage to this system, and the reason we're looking at this system, is because it's relational. In the main, it's relational. Whereas the old system was regional, so someone would look out for a whole region and area. So a regional carer might be responsible for, let's say, 70 people or something, and you might not know them that well. This new system is all about relationship. It's about people being in a group together. It's about the people that they know well from within that group, so there's relationship there. And these people, it's for people who they are building relationship with, but they've only got two or three people to build that closer relationship with, to just be able to care for and look out for. So we're also looking for some people to be pastoral carers, but they've got to have that pastoral heart who will say, yeah, I've got a little bit of extra time that I can look out for two or three other people who I don't necessarily know at the moment, but I'm willing to get to know and kind of care for and pray for. So that's what we need as well with that. This way and this structure is a way we're going to try to provide better, one of the ways we're going to try and provide better pastoral care over the church and help people to engage in smaller groups and get to know other people in the church family better. We're also going to try and have a pastoral support team, which will be kind of an extra layer here, that will then be able to step in and provide support. And the ministers will be involved in that themselves, and some others as well, that will be able to come in and just, if someone's gone to hospital or if something's more serious, if there's a marriage difficulty, breakup or whatever, that they can come in and help support that situation, so that you're not expected to all deal with major issues that are going on in people's lives. If you need that extra support, we're there to provide that and help with that as well. But that's how we're looking to go forward. Now, the reason I wanted to share this with you this morning is so that you understand what's going on. And when we are going to be advertising, asking for people to look at small groups, leading the small groups and be the pastoral carers. And we wanted you to start thinking about that and whether that's something that some of you could be involved with, helping with, and understand the way that we're trying to go forward as a church with this. We'll be discussing it more over the next few weeks. We're meeting with the pastoral carers, the existing pastoral carers, next weekend. And then there'll also be opportunity at our next church meeting for us to talk about this. That's near the beginning of March. But we will be starting to then advertise this out and give you opportunity to sign up and get involved in different groups. So, taking the opportunity to share that with you today, because we needed to do it one Sunday, really felt it would be best to do it today rather than go down the other route we were going to talk about in the week. And I hope it's kind of useful information for you, and I hope it will be something that you'll be able to engage with and feel able to be a part of as well going forward. Anne's playing our final song. Just before we do, are there any questions anyone's got they just want to ask about that before we have our final hymn? Anything immediately springs to mind? Yes? Oh, great. Thank you. Yes. Will there be variations of time and age groups and so on? Yes. Good question. Yes, very much so. The idea is that these groups, rather than all be on like a Wednesday night or whatever else, they can be any time, any place, anywhere. So they can be meeting. There'll be daytime groups, hopefully. There'll be evening groups. There'll be, at different times. They can be weekends. They can meet in homes, but they can meet elsewhere as well. You could meet in a coffee shop to do this. You could meet wherever. It doesn't matter where you meet. It's not about the meeting place or the particular day. It's about just getting together spending time together. We've already got a couple of people who've said to us, oh, I'd be interested in doing that. Someone's volunteered to do a group, Play and Pray. They want to do a group, which is playing some games and just praying together as well. So that'll be one that'll be starting. But we're open to other ideas. And this is what we want. We want people to come and volunteer and say these different things, and we can put it all together and make it work. So, Father God, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for Lucas and his family. We again just pray your blessing on them as they now enjoy some time together with food after the service. Lord, we pray for Bronwyn as she flies back this morning. And we ask that as we go from this place, that we will go with your peace and your blessing today. In your name, Jesus. Amen.